You're listening to Spraymakers, the podcast that dives deep into the world of slalom with Rossi and Trent. As you exit the wakes, it's imperative to keep your back arm straight and connected to get swing up the boat. Listen as the boys break it down.
You know, I do watch a lot of these TWBC, pro events and all of that. And one of the things that I was watching the other day stuck out to me with a couple of skiers that obviously we all kind of watch. And then it got me thinking to why it was so important that this one aspect was coming out. As you can tell, I'm kind of teasing it without letting you know what it is.
We talked before we press record. So I know where this one's going. This one's exciting. Because this one almost goes like, just to kind of breach it a little bit. Everyone knows you need to have your arms straight. Like it's one of Rossi's cardinal rules. It's one of the things that you see everybody do. But I get this question lots too. Like, well, how come sometimes I see an arm being bent? And so what did you notice then when you were watching skier after skier in terms of what I just kind of snuck in there?
All right, you nailed it, my man. It's even more teasered now because we still don't know what we're talking about other than it's arm straight. And it's actually what I was really noticing was going through the edge change.
Yeah.
The back arm, which is what I call back arm, not trailing arm, back arm. So when you're going through the gates or cutting from the left side of the boat to the right side of the boat, the back arm, I would call that your right arm. So,
yep.
The one that's going by the right-hand gate ball, right arm. As you come up through that edge change into one, like through the gates and into one, that back arm, that right arm remains straight from center line out to the buoy line.
Yes.
And I see, and straight, and then I'm going to put another one more thing in there, straight and connected to your body, meaning, right, that it's that you're in essence, we've talked about this, like the way I like to think about it is you build your energy into center line. And then after center line, I like to hold on or just maintain that energy as it propels me or swings me up on the boat. That's that kind of pendulum-esque feeling move. But one of the things I saw, and it was never more clear than when I watched Nevue ski.
Good example.
Oh, my word. Steven Nevue, man. That guy, I've been looking for what I, each skier to me seems to have one or two things, and we talked about this offline, but one or two things that they do that really helps them to be the skier that they are when we're talking about the pros, but it can go to everything. And the thing for me when I watch Steven is he just makes it look too easy. And I keep kind of trying to break it down. Like, what is it? What's that key for him that just makes it all work? And I believe that it's this right here. This is Steven's key. And if you watch, a lot of people that are running 41, and that back arm, whether you're going through the gates, that right arm, or going one to two, that left arm is straight and does not kink in, man. It does not kink in.
And like you kind of already hinted toward, like you said, also straight and tight to your body. Like think about when you cross that center line and the higher up you swing, that arm is literally like draped, connected across the front of your body, right? It's going to come kind of across your chest, down over your midsection, all the way until it's crossing that inside hip. I mean, it is ultra connected to higher, especially the higher up through that swing to apex that you get, right?
100%. I actually did hear you, Trent, stand up and start to rotate like you were riding that handle.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty positive that that's what you just did.
Yeah, creaky chair.
Exactly. Well, actually, I heard it
Can't
in a way
myself.
That your voice went a little bit away from the mic, so I knew that you were like walking through it like we would be walking through it. Yeah. And that's kind of what it's all about. But so that is so key, and that goes really back to understanding handle path, understanding and getting rid of your desire to falsely be able to put yourself somewhere that the rope and handle will never allow you to be. Most people are trying to ski. They're trying to go like off the second wake and going, and I'm probably as guilty as anyone in this zone. So don't think that I'm singling anybody out, but off that second wake, we try to, like, in our minds, we're thinking, I can get even earlier. I can get higher up on the swing. I'm going to just take. Like, we're way too greedy right through that zone. And maybe that's a good discussion too in here, is that from center line moving out to buoy line in that zone, we're not trying to be greedy. We're just trying to, I don't know, I think I've heard you kind of maybe say, like, it more of a maintain what we had there versus trying to get more or get earlier or get something. Maybe all we need to really do is focus on maintaining what we have at center line. I don't know. You can take this anywhere you want, because I'm rambling like crazy.
No, this one's really good. Yeah, I think, so I think the question is, and here's a question I get all the time. That's when you suggested this topic, I was like, yes, because there is a huge misconception around this, because I get asked this question all the time, and then I want you to explain it. So I always, obviously we all talk about how you need to have your arm straight. And then, like we're talking right now, I mentioned about how that outside arm, right arm going to one ball, needs to stay straight from center line to apex. So then I get asked the question all the time, well, it looks to me like when I watch the pros, it looks like they're pulling in at this phase.
Okay.
And I think that's a huge misconception. Okay. Well, we're going to cover when someone is forced to pull in and why they're doing it. And it's compensatory. It's not good. But when people, they just quickly see that flash off the second wake and they're like, it looks to me like they're pulling in. So what are they seeing? And we're assuming that this is, we're watching like a Steven Nevy run that sweet line. He's not pulling in. So what is it that people are seeing? Like, what is that misconception?
So I think that what we fail to realize is that from center line to apex, what we really want is for our body to be the weight on the end of the line, right? Now, if we're going to be the weight on the end of that line and we have a handle that has a yoke, then our weight will need to be at least centered, as if the rope went all the way down to your handle, not yoked out, right? And at the very center of your handle, the center of your mass or weight needs to be at least behind that piece of your handle. And so what we're really doing is, as we're edge changing, what we have to try to focus on is allowing our body to be able to be that weight on the end of that center of that handle line. And I think that that's where the big miss, I don't know. I think I got twisted up a little bit there and what I was trying to explain, but that's what I'm trying to make people understand, is that you can't pull yourself wider. You can't pull yourself earlier. By the time you're to center line, you've done everything that you can possibly do that's positive. And now you have only things that will basically take away from you being able to ride that ideal line. So why do we see the trailing arm, or like going through the gates, that right arm start to bend? Why do we see, that's that, maybe in my opinion, I think that's when you start seeing people say to you, I see their arms coming in. And I think what they're seeing is really that back arm coming in. And I think what we're really having to understand is the body needs to be able to move more with the handle. How does the body move and stay with the handle versus when you go out to the apex and you'll see a lot of people with the handle out in front of them. Yeah. Okay. If the handle's out in front of you, then if you take a line from the pylon to the center of the handle and you extend that line out, your body's supposed to be there. The further inside of that you are, which will be the more the handle is out in front of you, the more off of that line you are. Hence, you are inside, you are very much inside your ideal handle path arc that you could be taking. So I guess that's my long-winded story for that. Yeah. Could you bring the listeners back to a more easy thing to understand from that, maybe, or whatever?
Okay, so even when things are right though, like, so that outside, so again, we're going to beat up the same example. You're going to one ball, that outside arm is perfectly straight. Like, we know it needs to be if you're going to maintain your direction. That inside arm is bent though, right?
Inside arm is bent.
Yes. And I think people see that inside arm and it'll go to a 90 degree. And I think they see that and they're like, oh, he's pulling in on his arms. And I think it's a keen observation, but they're missing what's really happening. Like that inside arm is going to be bent. The higher up in the swing you get, the more that arm is going to need to be bent, simply because that inside shoulder, your left shoulder at one ball is just simply closer to the pylon than your right shoulder, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that right arm, that outside arm, that back arm, if you will, is, I mean, going to be dead straight. But as you cross center line and start on that upward arc, that inside arm is going to become increasingly more bent as that right shoulder is, you know, it's at that point, it's significantly closer to the pylon. So it's going to be bent just to maintain support, but you're certainly not pulling in to achieve that. You're just maintaining line tension.
Right. Any right arm through the gate, since we're really just trying to paint mm-hmm. this picture for people, any right arm inward move is going to pull you the opposite way that the handle wants to go.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Okay. And then you're going to end up exactly with what you just said, behind the handle, inside of your ideal potential arc.
That's correct. Also, there's many things that you do that maybe aren't positive that can cause you to be way behind. Like one of the things I've talked about is leaving your ski wherever it is at center line, not trying to cast your ski out wide, right? Yeah. Like if you push your ski out in front of you, now you've lost balance. As you lose balance, that if we were going through the gates, that right arm is going to start to bend and try to hold you up. Like you can't leave 100% away from your body. You've lost your balance. Like you're not even balanced over your ski. So that's why we don't shoot our ski out wide. That's why we let our body be pulled up over the top of our ski so that we can leave our body where it's supposed to be in relation to where the pull is coming from, which is the pylon. So I think also when we pass through center line, that trailing mm-hmm. arm or that left arm when you're going through the gates is going to have a inward component to your hip that it has. And it keeps your, if your left elbow and left hip are connected and they're bending and moving, it allows your upper body and hips to slide outward so that your center of mass can be running through that pylon center of your handle and extend that line back and your center of mass is over to that place. Does that make,
yes.
do you yep. have any comments about that or a way to bring that to a better way to the listener?
I think because, so I encounter people or I'll notice people like that are bound by pulling in on that handle as they leave the second wig. And I know the same thing with me. Like if mine is going to be headed to two ball when I'm headed, you know, out of my onside, headed towards my offside at two ball. If I come through the second wake and I'm pulling in on the handle, it's obviously at that point, it's compensatory. It's going to be out of necessity. I know that I've shot my ski out. So I think, okay, let's just say, you know, we have that skier that is required to, as they leave the second wake, pull both arms in. Okay, so we've already decided that is an attempt to regain their platform, right? Mm-hmm. That ski gets swings out ahead of you. Either you're going to ride the tail all the way into the buoy, or you're going to pull in on both arms to reestablish balance. Okay. So what Rossi, that skier that leaving the second wake that is perpetually required to pull in, meaning their ski is shot out in front of them. What is their, like, what is likely, like what, there could be a one or two things, but what's going on? Like, how come they lose their ski through the edge change?
I mean, there's a couple things. One,
couple reasons, that, but
well, yeah, there's a lot of different approaches. I think. I mean, I think what I've been painting the picture leading up to this is I'm going to cast my ski out on the widest path possible. Mm-hmm. That concept does not compute because, and it doesn't work because it does not it doesn't follow the concept that the handle is attached to the boat and the handle can only swing on its basically the tight rope, the tight line swing. Okay. So
yeah, there's one
whatever,
arc.
Whatever that arc is, that's the only ideal arc you can make. You cannot send yourself on a wider, earlier path than what that handle will allow you to do. So
not without losing balance, right?
Right. And so what, Trent, you painted the greatest picture back there where you were talking about how the skier who shot their ski out in front of them or tried to quote unquote cast their ski out wide, when they landed in the pre-turn, right, they're out the back of their ski, they're trailing their ski, And yeah, sure, there's not a lot of water contact to the ski, so the ski is free to try to go outward. But the problem is, think about your ski trying to go more on a 90-degree path towards the shore, right? Now, your handle cannot do that because it's tied to the boat, and the boat's going forward. So the handle's curving in towards the buoy, and your ski's trying to go 90. That's why that gap there, the bigger that gap, the quicker you're going to have to let go of that handle. And now you're not really using the swing. And that's why that's so bad, is that you're not swinging up on your swing height so that you're not getting the right trajectory. Now you're going to be taking a straight line right at the buoy with no tight rope at the finish, which is then what we call that kind of hope and pray turn, where you know how to kind of fall back and rotate and do all that to hit the brakes, but you got to really hope that you time it right and don't catch that slack negatively. So,
yep.
Anyway, that's like for me, like, and that's that is inside of me, man. Like I do that if, like, when I get to my hardest pass, sometimes I'm like, I'm going to get early and I'm going to cast that thing. And I'm just like, why did I do that? Why?
Yeah.
I couldn't run that line.
Yeah. And that's just it, right? I think if there's anything that stands out on today's skiers versus 20 years ago, is you far less often see skiers need to, like that old terminology, climb onto the front of their ski or dive into the turn. Like, you watch someone, you know, even on some of those, on the better 39s, and better 41s, like, you rarely see them have to move forward because they didn't lose their platform to begin with. So losing that base, losing your balance, shooting the ski out in front of you, I think, one, Rossi, like you said, like it can stem from the edge change, meaning as you switch edges, you're trying to push that ski. I mean, I even remember as a younger skier being asked by coaches to push my ski out in front of me. Or simply just trying to rotate outwards on an arc that is, you know, wider or steeper than that handle will allow. And then I think there's also some more cause and effect reasons. One, obviously pulling too long, right? Pulling too long is and that is what you're doing. You're trying to go in a direction that the boat and the rope won't allow. And obviously, you know, you watch enough really good skiers, there is a margin of error. I mean, I think it would be hard to find someone who doesn't agree that centerline is your ideal transition point, but there's obviously a pretty big window. But the further through that window of required long pulling you travel, the more the handle is moving away from your body to some extent. And then, like you said, Rossi, the earlier you're going to have to come off the handle.
Right. And then, so exactly. And then, so long pulling is really the reason why people want to shoot their ski, is to try to compensate for that. The other thing is, when you long pull, you create, so the moment you pass center line, the longer you are still trying to go sideways away, you know, in the not in the direction of the buoy, but towards the shore you're headed, right? Like sideways, the 90 degree. Mm-hmm. Like if you have 90 degrees going into center line, I'm not saying you need to have 90, but if you did, where if you were 90 degrees to the boat, then you keep past center line. If you keep trying to go 90, all right, that handle already right there is starting to want to curve in towards the buoy, but it's at its like longest moment there. So that's where Trent was saying, like, you have a little bit of grace period. That's where, like, I think the second wake, like, once you're in that zone right there, like, trying to still go sideways, I still see people pulling past the second wake, and then that line, the handle's really trying to arc in and you're really trying to go sideways, and then what happens? That load goes so great that a typical lefty will allow their hips to fall, right? That's why they struggle into their offside turn, as they're taking too much angle too long, and then the compensatory move. Jeez, that was a tough one today. The compensatory move there is to either allow your arms to get ripped away from your body, mm-hmm. or the other way to give away that load is to give away your hip and your stack. And that's why lefties, typically you'll see that from 1 to 2 on a lefty, you'll see their right hip at center line, you'll see their right hip strong, and then right off of the edge change, you'll see that right hip fade away from their body, and it's just getting peeled from them. And then they end up taking a more straight line. at it. And then, I mean, it's not that righties don't do this. It's just righties get a little bit of more leniency and tend to not be quite as aggressive with that. But that's holding on to it too long. Or what you typically see from longer line skiers is right off the second wake, you watch that, you know, like let's say we're going, through the gate, since we've been talking about this so much, going through the gates, they get so much load that right off the second wake, you'll watch that right arm, that arm that's supposed to stay straight through this edge change, you'll watch that right arm just go flying towards the boat. And yeah, both arms just give back everything. So it's like you established all of this speed and direction, and then right when you were going to get that upswing and swing up towards the buoy, and it'll bring you on that nice high and connected line to make the turn, right there, the line gets so aggressive, or the low gets so aggressive because the timing's wrong, that they basically just release their hands to the boat. And in my opinion, I call that a reach. That's where they're reaching. They're just letting go of it right there. And then they're just straight lining at the buoy with no connection to the upswing at all. So it's, you know, it's one way or the other is the way I see it. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I just, again, I think it's to maintain that direction that you've established into the first wake, that back arm or that outside arm, however you want to term it, needs to stay straight and it needs to stay tight to your body, just so that load plane, the line of the rope, doesn't change where it's intersecting your body. And I think too, don't get lost in, or don't get fooled by the fact that you see really good skiers with their inside arm bending. They're not pulling in. Okay. And then I think finally, if you feel that need to pull in leaving the second wake, I think you need to appreciate the fact that all you're doing is trying to reclaim your balance point. You're trying to draw your body back over top of that platform. And the fix is simple. One, don't load too early out of the previous buoy. You know, make sure you're centered over your feet, letting the load come to you. And two, try not to pull any longer than is necessary. The longer you pull, the more your ski is going to want to shoot out in front of you. And then that action, that motion of pulling in to try and re-find your balance point, all you're doing is losing direction and losing space on the buoy.
I mean, that's a beautiful way to sum it up, my man. I mean, it really is that simple. And I think that focusing on, I mean, I don't know, for me, leaving that arm nice and straight and just be basically understanding that my body needs to be following that handle. The one thing that I just wanted to finish with this over what you just said, because that was beautiful, is that your shoulders, in order for you to be the weight behind the, you know, where they have the pylon to the center of the handle and extend that line out, if your center mass is going to be there, then your shoulders are going to be opening to the boat, not trying to close away. And I think that's the biggest key that people get ripped out on and want to shoot their ski out in front of them. So that inside arm gives a little bit of bend that opens the shoulder angle up so that outside arm can stay straight, and just realize that you're trying to keep your weight going directly off the center of the back of that handle. And that has to be where it is. And any kind of forced motion there and not being able to be balanced over the top of your ski is going to send you out the back, is going to take you off of that weight. And then that is going to allow the line to curve in off of its optimal line. Thus, you know, at your hardest passes, you're just already giving up that wonderful rhythm and ability to ski on the tight rope. Because anytime you're on a tight rope, you're on a safe rope. So, you know, if you think about all the times you ever have problems, it's when there's slack in the rope. So just try to focus on, you know, maintaining that straight arm from the center line out towards the buoy line before you start your reach. I think that's going to be a real big key for people, and not letting it run away from your body and not pulling in on it. Just keep it centered and you know, keep your core tight and just allow yourself to wrap up like the handle's trying to go out to its optimal width, and then just drop in on it. Simple, easy peasy.